The region's told us loud and clear that it wants us to do more. We intend to meet that call.
Top U.S. diplomat visits Indo-Pacific. It's Wednesday, December 15th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Casgill in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, bleak UN Afghanistan update. South Korean and Australian leaders meet. Moving before a natural disaster. Helping astronauts see better. Helping you sleep better. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The Indo-Pacific is the fastest growing region on the planet. Speaking in Indonesia Tuesday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirmed U.S. commitment to the Indo-Pacific by outlining five areas of focus. They include freedom, strengthening relationships, building prosperity, increasing resiliency, and maintaining security. VOA Asia's Jim Stevenson has more on the Secretary's remarks.
Antony Blinken said the United States will bolster regional freedom by standing up against leaders who don't respect rights, seek an open, secure, and reliable internet, and defend rules-based order to protect the rights of all countries. While Blinken said the Indo-Pacific does not represent a competition between the United States and China, he did single out actions by China.
From Northeast Asia to Southeast Asia, and from the Mekong River to the Pacific Islands, about Beijing's aggressive actions, claiming open seas as their own, distorting open markets through subsidies to its state-run companies, denying the exports or revoking deals for countries whose policies it does not agree with, engaging in illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing activities. Countries across the region want this behavior to change. We do too. That's why we're determined to ensure freedom of navigation in the South China Sea, where Beijing's aggressive actions there threaten the movement of more than $3 trillion worth of commerce every year. When commerce can't traverse open seas, that means that farmers are blocked from shipping their produce. Factories can't ship their microchips. Hospitals are blocked from getting life-saving medicines. 5 years ago, an international tribunal delivered a unanimous and legally binding decision, firmly rejecting unlawful, expansive South China Sea maritime claims as being inconsistent with international law. We and other countries, including South China Sea claimants, will continue to push back on such behavior. It's also why we have an abiding interest in peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait, consistent with our longstanding commitments.
The Secretary of State said the United States will forge stronger connections by deepening regional treaty alliances and going further to include global partnerships toward ASEAN interests. Blinken also said broad-based prosperity was a key goal.
The region's told us loud and clear that it wants us to do more. We intend to meet that call. At President Biden's direction, we're developing a comprehensive Indo-Pacific economic framework to pursue our shared objectives, including around trade in the digital economy, technology, resilient supply chains, decarbonization and clean energy, infrastructure, worker standards, and other areas of shared interest.
Infrastructure is also a major focus for the U.S. in the Indo-Pacific region, and Blinken emphasized a new digital customs platform to clear goods across borders more efficiently, which he says already has helped maintain trade during the pandemic.
During the first year of the pandemic, the countries that were most active on the platform saw their trade activity rise by 20%, when most other cross-border trade was actually falling. And at the U.S.-ASEAN summit in October, President Biden committed additional U.S. support to the single window. We'll work with partners to make our supply chains more secure and more resilient. I think we've all seen through the pandemic just how vulnerable they are, how damaging disruptions can be, including shortages of masks and microchips and pile-up supports. We've been leading efforts to bring the international community together to try to resolve bottlenecks and build greater resiliency against future shocks.
Resiliency against a variety of adversities is a top priority, according to Blinken, who mentioned fighting climate change and the distribution of vaccines as examples.
Of the 300 million doses of safe, effective vaccines that the United States has already distributed worldwide, we've sent more than 100 million doses to the Indo-Pacific, and over 25 million of those have come here to Indonesia. By the end of next year, we will have donated more than 1.2 billion doses to the world. And we've provided over $2.8 billion in additional assistance to the region to save lives, including $77 million here in Indonesia for everything from personal protective equipment to medical oxygen for hospitals. And we've been providing this aid free of charge with no strings attached. By making most of these donations through COVAX, we've ensured that they're distributed equitably based on need, not on politics.
Finally, the top U.S. diplomat said the United States is committed to Indo-Pacific security and countering regional threats.
We don't want conflict in the Indo-Pacific. That's why we seek serious and sustained diplomacy with the DPRK, with the ultimate goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. We'll work with allies and partners to address the threat posed by the DPRK's nuclear and missile programs through a calibrated, practical approach, while also strengthening our extended deterrence. And that's why President Biden told President Xi last month that we share a profound responsibility to ensure that the competition between our countries does not veer into conflict. We take that responsibility with the greatest seriousness, because the failure to do so would be catastrophic for all of us.
After Indonesia, Blinken makes visits to Malaysia and Thailand. Jim Stevenson, VOA News, Washington.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We are also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. First case of Omicron variant reported on mainland China. Hong Kong's Jimmy Lai and seven others given jail terms. Biden's first North Korea sanction seen as symbolic. Britain and Pakistan urge collective response to Afghan humanitarian crisis. U.S. military will not punish personnel over deadly errant strike in Kabul. Find complete coverage on all these headlines, plus more stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights warns Afghanistan is facing a profound human rights crisis, and failure by the Taliban rulers to uphold the rights of their people will lead to further turmoil and hinder the country's development. The High Commissioner's report has been presented at a special session of the UN Human Rights Council. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
This unrelentingly bleak report describes a society where millions of people are unable to meet their basic needs because of the near collapse of the Afghan economy. It says people suffering poverty and hunger are forced to take desperate measures to survive, including child labor, child marriage, and even the sale of children. Before the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in August, the United Nations recorded the highest number of civilian casualties on record, with women and children among the main victims. While casualty numbers have dropped, the report says civilians continue to be killed in attacks by various armed groups. UN Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights Nada Al-Nashif tells the Council extrajudicial killings are increasing across the country. She expresses concern at the continued recruitment of children by an extremist jihadist militant group and Taliban authorities.
While the Taliban takeover has brought an uneasy end to fighting against governmental forces in the country, the current situation leaves the population with little protection in terms of human rights. Women and girls in particular face great uncertainty with respect to the rights to education, to livelihoods, and to participation, in which they had made important gains over the past two decades.
Al-Nashif says Afghan society will pay a high price if the Taliban continue to marginalize women by depriving them of an education, prohibiting them from working, and keeping them under the control of a male relative.
The continued participation of women in all aspects of life will be fundamental to Afghanistan's future. The UN partners have estimated that restricting women from working could contribute an immediate loss of up to $1 billion, or up to 5% of the country's GDP. as more and more girls are held back and pushed further behind, that economic and social damage will accumulate for future generations.
The UN Credentials Committee has decided to not allow the Taliban to represent Afghanistan at the United Nations. So Nasser Andisha, ambassador to the UN in Geneva under ex-president Afgan Ghani's regime, remains the person who the UN recognizes as the legitimate representative of Afghanistan. In taking the floor at the council, the ambassador thanked the High Commissioner for her report. He called on the international community to side with the people of Afghanistan and to not allow the Taliban to deprive them of their fundamental rights and freedoms. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still to come on VOA Asia, South Korea's and Australia's leaders meet. Happening now in Asia, shares of Chinese property developer Shimao Group plunged on Tuesday after the sale of one of its businesses and a state media report that it had canceled agreed-upon apartment sales. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. South Korean President Moon Jae-in is in Australia for talks with Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Analysts have said that enhancing defense ties is a priority of the four-day visit, along with China's growing regional influence. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in is the first world leader to arrive since Australia closed its borders to most foreign travelers in March 2020. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison welcomed Moon and South Korea's First Lady Kim Jong-suk to Canberra on Monday.
I'm so pleased we could join together, as we have been threatening to do for many years now through COVID, and we can now come together in this way, and I'm so pleased to be able to host you and to formally elevate our relationship to a comprehensive strategic partnership.
The leaders have agreed on several new joint initiatives around clean energy technology, the supply of critical minerals, and defence. Under a new deal worth $771 million, the South Korean company Hanwha will provide 30 howitzers, ammunition supply vehicles, and radars to detect enemy artillery. It's the largest military contract between Australia and an Asian nation. Analysts have said South Korea is also well placed to win a contract with Australia worth $21.3 billion for new infantry attack vehicles. Speaking through an interpreter, Moon said the two countries were committed to an open, inclusive, and prosperous Indo-Pacific region.
Korea and Australia uphold the same values, and our position in terms of the geopolitical situation, we are like-minded. Therefore, Korea is focused on a steadfast alliance with the U.S. and also with China. We want a harmonized relationship.
Moon is the first South Korean president to come to Australia in more than a decade. Haley Channer, a senior policy fellow with the Perth US Asia Centre, says Moon's visit is significant.
Australia has often looked across the table and seen South Korea and seen that it's preoccupied with developments on the Korean Peninsula. But Australia and South Korea have so many different things in common. So having this bilateral visit is extremely important to progress the relationship forward.
This year, the two nations will mark 60 years of diplomatic relations. South Korea is Australia's fourth largest trading partner. A free trade deal has been in place since December 2014. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news alert from VOA Asia. South Korea marked its deadliest day in the pandemic, The Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency said Tuesday that 94 virus patients died, while a record 906 others were in serious or critical condition. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden will travel to Kentucky on Wednesday to view damage from last week's devastating tornadoes that killed at least 88 people and displaced thousands more. Biden, who has already signed emergency declarations for the state of Kentucky, said he stands ready to do the same for Illinois. He added that he has ordered his administration to make every resource available to local and state officials in Kentucky and the other states impacted by the storms.
We're going to have to go beyond what is available to the federal government. For example, we're able to, FEMA can come up with up to $35,000 in housing restoration. Well, not a lot of $35,000 homes. In the meantime, we can provide everything from hotel rooms and places where folks can live in the meantime. But there's a lot to be done, and we're just getting it underway. But we're going to work with all the governors to make sure that we can.
From tornadoes, hurricanes, and wildfires, climate change is putting more and more U.S. communities at risk. As those risks intensify, many are finding that the best option may be to retreat before disaster strikes. VOA's Steve Barragona reports.
A thin strip of asphalt is all that connects Isle de Jean Charles to the Louisiana coast.
The island cemetery?
Chris Brunet's Native American ancestors fled to these remote marshes in the 1800s, to escape white settlers.
We've been over here for generations, and so since we are Native Americans, we are tied to the land.
But that land is eroding into the Gulf of Mexico. Isle de Jean Charles has shrunk 98% since the 1950s. Canals for oil and gas drilling and pipelines have eaten away land across coastal Louisiana. Climate change is dealing the final blow as rising seas accelerate the erosion. Brunet has spent his whole life on Isle de Jean Charles, but he says the shrinkage of his island home forced his hand.
It causes people to make decisions they don't want to make, and they're almost forced to make that decision because of climate change.
Where we're walking right now will be houses in less than a year.
Pat Forbes heads Louisiana's Office of Community Development. His office oversees a $48 million federal grant to relocate island residents to this new community about 55 kilometers northwest.
While we hate that we have to do this to create this opportunity, we're glad that we can.
The grant from the Federal Housing Agency, called HUD, is the first to resettle a community threatened by climate change, but likely not the last, as more and more people flee climate disasters, Forbes says.
HUD wanted us to do something that helps all of us learn how to do this better, because there's going to be a lot of it going on.
The project is unique in another way, he adds.
All we've ever done in the past, for the most part, is give people money to go find a house somewhere. And when you do that, the whole community falls apart. Spreads out all over the place.
That song is good.
Nearly all of the close-knit community of Isle de Jean Charles will relocate together. Brunet's niece and nephew will join him when the development is finished sometime in 2022. Experts say community can be as important to people as safety. Still, Brunet faces the move with mixed feelings.
It's like uprooting a tree and moving to some other place. And you can only hope that the roots from that tree is going to take into that new ground. That's how I am. You're building me a house, but it's not my home yet.
Uprooted by climate change, experts say more and more people will be forced to build not just new houses, but new homes. Steve Barragona, VOA News, Isle de Jean Charles, Louisiana.
Making headlines in Asia, a magnitude 7.3 undersea earthquake has struck off Indonesia's Flores Island, and the country's meteorological agency is warning that tsunami waves are possible. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. former students and faculty members from the Afghanistan National Institute of Music have arrived in their new home of Portugal with their families. The 273-person group, including about 150 students, flew into Lisbon from Doha, Qatar on Monday. Their departure from Afghanistan was staggered in 5 airlifts to Doha over 6 weeks in October and November. Two of the students now.
I'd like to thank you all for everything you have done for us to remove us from Afghanistan, from a bad situation to a good situation to a bright future.
I'm so happy to education here and to study here, and my huge dream is that one day go back to Afghanistan with high knowledge, with more knowledge and with beauty, more music, to go back to Afghanistan and teach the young generation there. It's my huge dreams, and I believe that.
Members of the group are being granted asylum in Portugal, and they hope to rebuild their acclaimed school in the European country. Dr. Ahmad Sarmast, founder and head of Afghanistan National Institute of Music, said his group also intends to make quality music education available to disadvantaged communities in Portugal.
This is Science in a Minute.
A microgravity environment, such as what space travelers experience, can affect the human body in several ways. According to a press release from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, over time, weightlessness can trigger a condition called spaceflight-associated neuroocular syndrome. The disorder can cause the eyeballs to flatten, the optic nerves to swell, and impair vision. This happens because in microgravity, bodily fluids place continuous pressure behind the eyes. To help address these issues, researchers at UT Southwestern have developed a space-age sleeping bag. The device seals the lower body and, with a vacuum mechanism, suctions bodily fluids that in space naturally flow into the head while lying down. Research details were published in JAMA Ophthalmology. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Finally on VOA Asia, getting a good night's sleep can be elusive. But sleep tracking rings, watches, and even mattresses may offer insight into how to get a better night's sleep. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
Tossing and turning, awake in the middle of the night. Humans spend about a third of their lives sleeping, or trying to. Sleep tracking technology may offer a window into what's keeping them up. 8Sleep sells a so-called smart mattress. Vibration-detecting piezoelectric sensors are packed into the mattress bedding. Alexandra Zatarain is co-founder of 8Sleep. She spoke to VOA over Zoom.
They act almost like a stethoscope, where it's picking up on all the different vibrations at the different frequencies that your body is emitting throughout the night.
An algorithm sifts through the night's data for information on body temperature, number of breaths taken, rollovers, and resting heart rate. The next morning, users check their sleep app to see how they did in the various stages of sleep. Louisa Nicola, a neuroscientist and brain performance coach who has a partnership with 8Sleep, says the rise of sleep trackers like watches, rings, and smart mattresses are giving people valuable information about their sleep health.
You had 15 tosses and turns. We noticed that you got up during the night. So then you can really, you know, gauge an understanding of, you can break apart your sleep and figure out what's going on during those 8 hours.
For example, people don't sleep as well with their pets in bed as they think they do. 8Sleep's data show while they sleep slightly longer, sleep quality is lower. Again, Alexandra Zatarain.
The pet in the bed is to have an impact, probably because the pet is also moving during the night. And we see the same with partners. So when you're sharing the bed with someone, people who go to bed together and get out of bed together, they will sleep better.
In the future, the company hopes to add more sensors to its mattress to detect changes in a person's body beyond sleep, information that might point to potential health issues. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
That's all for VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Bye now.